There's a great quote by Pablo Picasso, but if I just read it to you, all of your heads would explode. So here are five other Picasso quotes that, when taken at the right intervals, will allow us to get acclimated to Picasso's depth. Let's start off with a good quote. Picasso said, "To draw, you must close your eyes and sing." I love that Picasso feels free to mix his metaphors. That's what makes our first quote a pretty good one. But this next one is even better. Picasso said, "I am always doing that which I cannot do in order that I may learn how to do it." Now that's not pretty good advice. That's really good advice. We're getting deeper now. A third Picasso quote, "I paint objects as I think them, not as I see them." Great quote. That's not how I learned to draw, but it's still a good quote. But if you saw how I learned to draw, you would think that's exactly what I did. But this quote's even better. "The purpose of art is to wash the dust of daily life off our souls." Now that is beyond great. We are almost at the necessary depth now. Here's number five, and it's filled with great wisdom and great truth. Picasso said, "The first half of life is learning to be an adult. The second half is learning to be a child." Now, speaking as an adult who wishes for a little more childhood, that is an absolutely phenomenal insight. And that leads us to the best of the best. Picasso said, "The meaning of life is to find your gift. The purpose of life is to give it away." Now that is in a class all of its own. And Picasso is absolutely right. The purpose of life is for us to give ourselves away. And here's the best thing about this quote. Picasso basically stole it from Jesus. Our text today is from Luke chapter 6. Now Luke 6 has a brother. It is Matthew chapter 5. And Matthew 5 has a name. It is the Sermon on the Mount. So that means Luke 6 is Luke's version of the Sermon on the Mount. And you can see that easily enough. In Matthew 5, we have the Beatitudes. In Luke 6, we have four Beatitudes and four woes. As I said, they are brothers. But as now you can see, they are not twins. Back to the brothers. Matthew 5, we have the five antitheses, where Jesus says, "You have heard it said, but now I say unto you." For instance, Jesus says, before it was don't murder, but now in my kingdom it is don't even get angry. Before it was do not commit adultery, but now in my kingdom it is don't even lust after someone. Before it was, don't divorce your spouse for any old reason. But now in my kingdom, it is, don't get divorced at all, except for unfaithfulness. Before it was, don't break your oaths. But now in my kingdom, it is, always speak the truth. Before it was an eye for an eye. But now in my kingdom, Jesus says, don't resist an evil person. Before it was love your neighbor, but hate your enemy. But now in my kingdom, Jesus says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now, Brother Luke doesn't have these antitheses. Instead, he takes the last two and he offers us a discussion on love, which ends with these well-known words, "Do to others as you would have them do to you." Hold that thought, because we'll come back to it in a minute. And then Matthew wraps up his whole chapter with a summary statement. In verse 48, we read, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Now, Brother Luke will not be left behind. He also has a summary statement, but his is different. In Luke, Jesus says, "Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. After reading Matthew 5, we have to ask, how are we to be perfect like our Heavenly Father is perfect? I think the answer is found in Luke 6. What does it mean to be perfect? Luke tells us we are to be merciful, just as our Heavenly Father is merciful. Now that just pushes the question back a step. Exactly what does it mean to be merciful? What does that look like? Thankfully, we don't have to guess, because Jesus explains it in verses 37 and 38. In a nutshell, being merciful looks like being giving and forgiving. See, being merciful means not judging others. Arrogant people judge, but merciful people don't. Being merciful means not condemning others. Self-righteous people condemn others, but merciful people don't. Being merciful means forgiving people when they sin against us. Grace-filled people forgive others because they understand God has been merciful to them. Being merciful means being generous and giving to everyone you encounter. Loving people give because they understand that love and giving go hand in hand. If you're reading our blog, you know that we're looking at stories from the Desert Fathers. And one of my favorite stories concerns a brother who committed a very public sin. The church decided to discipline him. But before they went through the process and excommunicated this brother, they wanted the advice and approval of Abba Moses. And so the church sent for the Abba. But Abba Moses did not want to go, so he stayed in his hut. This put the church in a hard place. They needed to proceed with the trial, but they didn't feel they could without the voice of Abba Moses. When they could not wait any longer, they sent for the Abba again. This time, however, Abba decided to go. But before he left, he took an old, worn-out basket and made a couple of holes in the bottom of that basket, and then filled the basket with black rocks. Now he was ready to go to the church, because every so often when he walked, a little black stone would fall out of the bottom of the basket, so that his path to the church was marked by a trail of black pebbles. When the people in the church saw this, they asked about what this meant. What are all these rocks? Abba Moses said, "My sins are running out behind me, yet I do not see them. And today I have come to judge the sins of someone else." The church understood. They understood Abba Moses' point all too well. They turned to the sinful brother and pardoned him, because they all knew they also were guilty of sin. And they dared not condemn someone else for what they were also guilty of doing. What does it mean to be merciful as God is merciful? It means we will refuse to judge others. It means we will refuse to condemn others. It means we will freely forgive others. It means we will treat others with kindness and compassion and give them the patience they need, the understanding they need, and the grace they need. And why should we do this? It seems rather radical. It seems outrageous. Why should we do this? Well, Jesus explains why in Matthew 10. He says, "Freely you have received, freely give." Don't miss that. We give because we have received so much. We give because we want to be like our Heavenly Father, who gives without limit. And we give because the measure we use to give to others is the measure God will use to give to us. That's the point of what Jesus says in verse 38. There we read, "Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Two things we need to understand here. First, Jesus is not necessarily talking about money here. Many people use this verse as a prelude to your offering in the service, saying that if we give Benjamins, God will bless that investment and give a whopping return on our investment. That is not what Jesus is saying here, because Jesus is not talking about money. Instead, he is talking about giving mercy and love and grace and forgiveness and blessings. Again, not money, but grace and mercy. That's the first thing we need to understand here. The second thing is we need to understand how people in the ancient world went shopping. Suppose you wanted to buy some grain. You would go to the grain seller, and he would take out a measuring container, then scoop out the full amount of grain that you had ordered. But then he would shake the container so that all the grain would settle, so that you're not buying air, you're actually buying grain. But now the container only is up to 2/3 of the way full. And that's not right. But our grain seller is a good guy, so he fills up the remaining part of the container until the grain is back to its proper level right at the top. But our grain seller is not even content with that. Ever order fries at Five Guys? You get the order of fries, and then they give you twice as much fries in your bag. That's the same point here. Our grain seller takes the grain that's already to the top and keeps on pouring grain into the container until there's a huge mound of grain rising above the container. But remember, this is the ancient world. The grain seller now can't ask paper or plastic. But you need to take all this grain home somehow. And you can't take his container. So what do? The seller will come over to you while you are sitting down and empty his container into the fold of your garment, into your lap, if you will. And then you would stand up and walk off carrying all this grain in front of you, just like you had a huge pocket sewn into your robe. And it's not just a little grain, it's an abundance of grain. This is how grain shopping was done in the ancient world. You would walk home with all the grain in your garment. That's what Jesus is talking about here. And then Jesus interrupts this wonderful pastoral picture with these chilling words. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And there it is. If we give freely and without limit, Jesus says God will pour out his grace on us without limit. It will be a heaping amount of grace that God pours into our lap. But if we hold back, if we give begrudgingly, or if we don't give at all, then that is the measure God will use when it comes time for us to receive grace. And I don't know about you, but I need all the grace I can get, and then some. And just like that, our giving becomes very, very important. Underscore that. Giving is a huge part of our mission to bless the people God puts in our path. We are to be joyful givers. And just think of all the ways the New Testament calls us to give. It starts off by talking about physical gifts. Luke 12:33 says, "Sell your possessions and give to the poor." The early church lived out these words. We read in Acts 2 that they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. We see the same thing in Romans 12 where we read, "Share with the Lord's people who are in need." But not all gifts that we are to give are physical. Many of them are better described as acts of kindness. Here are just some of the gifts the New Testament calls us to give to one another. 1 Peter 4:9 says, "Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling." Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another. Romans 12:10 calls us to honor one another above yourselves. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 encourages us to encourage one another. Romans 15:7 says, accept one another. Galatians 5:13 adds, serve one another. Galatians 6:2 tells us to bear one another's burdens. Ephesians 4:2 urges us to forgive one another. Colossians 3:13 says, be patient with one another. Philippians 2:3 urges us to consider others better than yourself. James 5:16 tells us to give this gift to each other, saying, pray for one another. And Hebrews 10:24 says, spur one another on to love and good deeds. I told you, giving is a huge part of our mission. All of those are gifts we are to give to one another. And these are just a few examples of the gifts of kindness we can give. I can't say this strongly enough. Giving is at the heart of our calling. Jesus said it this way, do to others as you would have them do to you. I told you to hold that thought and we would come back to it. Well, here we are. Here's the point. As you would want to be treated by others, so we are to treat the people around us in the same way. How you would want someone to give to you if you were in need is how you should give to the people and their needs around you. See, our calling is to give so that we can meet the needs of the people around us. Their physical needs, their emotional needs, their spiritual needs, and what other type of need they may have. And how we give to those needs around us is how God will respond to our needs. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why is this the case? Because freely we have received so much. Now it's our turn to bless the people around us by freely giving to them in Jesus' name. The two questions we have to ask in every encounter are these. What does this person need in this moment? And second, what grace gift can I give them? What act of kindness can I give them to meet that need? One of the desert fathers told a story about a brother named Serapion. Now, Serapion didn't own a thing, not a thing, except for a copy of Matthew's gospel. One day he saw some people begging for food. Moved with compassion for them, he went out and sold his copy of Matthew's gospel and used the money to purchase food for these people. And after he had given the food to them, he said to himself, I have even sold the very word which commanded me, sell everything and give to the poor. May our giving be so free. May our giving be so generous. May our giving be so loving that we delight in giving gifts and blessing the people around us. Let's pray. Father, we come to this table as sinners, as needy, as broken. We are in desperate need. And you have met that need in abundance. You have poured out your grace upon us. Not just a little grace. Not just half a container full. Not just a full container, but a super abundance of grace has fallen down upon us. You have given so much. And today we come to this table and acknowledge your grace. And we give you praise and worship for your love, for your provision, for your kindness to us. And we receive your grace. but we do not receive it just as selfish receivers. We receive it so that we may give to others, that we would bless others with the blessing we have received. So take this feast and apply it to our heart so that we would become more generous givers, that we would receive, truly, that we would receive, but that we would leave here with a new commitment to give. For you have poured out your grace upon us. Freely we have received. We see that in this table. Now we pray that we would also freely give. As we come to this table, we pray that you would meet us here and work in our hearts. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.